In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Through the grace of God, we will study today chapter 3 from the letter of St. James. First, I will give you introduction about the chapter, and then we will study it verse by verse. Actually, this chapter addresses two issues. And these two issues are actually related to each other. St. James started this chapter by warning us against becoming teachers, the desire to be a teacher. And he told us, you need to understand that if you are a teacher, like a Sunday school servant, you need to expect a stricter judgment. So the teachers in the judgment day will be judged stricter than others. When St. James told us this, he wants us to be aware of what we should expect in the judgment day in order to have maturity and also to have self-control, especially regarding the tongue, how we control our tongues. As a teacher, with your tongue, you explain the oracles of God. That's why it's not acceptable with the same tongue you curse or you judge or you lie. How the same tongue by which you are explaining the oracles of God, by the same tongue you commit any sin. And St. James provided a series of illustrations to teach us about the danger of the tongue. The danger of the tongue. And with our words, actually, we should show wisdom. And some teachers or some people desire to be teachers in order to appear wise. Some people desire to be teachers in order to appear wise. That's why after speaking about tongue and the danger of tongue, St. James starts to speak about wisdom. And he said, the wisdom of the person is demonstrated more by his behavior and his conduct than by his words. Because what is the point here if I tell you wise words, but my life does not reflect this? What is the point if I give you wise counseling, but my behavior is totally opposite this? And St. James compared between the earthly wisdom and the heavenly wisdom. The earthly wisdom causes confusion, and every evil thing causes confusion and every evil thing. But the heavenly wisdom actually produces peace and righteousness, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. This is a summary of chapter 3, and now let us understand it verse by verse. Verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. When he said, let not many of you become teachers, he's not speaking teacher like in schools. He's speaking mainly about teaching in the church, like Sunday school servants, like priests, like preachers. So teaching in the church. And he said that those who teach actually will be judged more strictly than those who have humbler gifts in the church. So all of us as Sunday school servants should expect stricter judgment on the last day. As the Lord Jesus Christ told us in the Sermon on the Mountain, with the same measure, it will be measured to you. And here actually in teaching, we set measures. In teaching, usually we set principles and rules. So with the same measure, it will be measured to me. Also, the Lord said in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, those who have much of those who have much, much is required. So the more you receive, the more is required from you. And usually we teach with our tongues. That's why he who teaches will be held strictly to account for the manner in which he uses his tongue. We teach with our tongues. That's why when we are judged, we will be judged mainly about our tongues, how we use the tongue and how we control our tongues. Verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. St. James is saying all of us are liable to stumble and make mistakes. But if a regular person makes a mistake, maybe people will give him an excuse. But when a servant or a teacher makes a mistake, actually, he can hardly be excused. The people will not give him excuse. They will actually question his teaching, and they will say, how come he taught us to do this and this and this, but in his behavior, he did this and that. And St. James told us, he who controls his tongue gives the proof of his ability to maintain entire self-control. That's why he said, he who controls his tongue, he is a perfect man. A perfect man. We all stumble in many things. And if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. If you control your tongue, you are a perfect man, able to bridle, to control the whole body. So if you control your tongue, this means you have self-control and you can control all other desires. But St. James used the word bridle here. And the word bridle suggests a figure, the figure of a horse, and how the bridle bit controls the whole horse. So St. James now will speak about how we can control something big with something very, very small. So how the bridle bit controls the whole horse. How actually the ship is controlled by a small thing, the helm. In the same way, our tongue, which is a small member, can control the whole body. In verse 3, Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. So through the bridle bit, you can control actually the horse, and you make the horse obey you, and you can control the whole body of the horse. So in the same way, if you control your tongue, actually you can control your body if you are able to control your tongue. Verse 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, whatever the pilot desires. These huge ships, these ships that are driven by fierce wind, very, very strong winds, the pilot controls them with a small rudder, with a small helm. It's the same, actually, analogy. Small tongue can control the whole body. The pilot desires, maybe the pilot here refers to our emotions, because our emotion dictate what we say with our tongue. If we are angry, maybe we curse. If we are happy, maybe we praise somebody. So the pilot here stand for the emotions. So the tongue is so small, but it can control the whole body like the bridle or like the helm of a ship. Verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Many times our tongue claim great powers. We give image about ourselves more than who we are. We claim that we achieved great achievement while we did not. False boasting and false pride. So this little tongue boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. If you have a very, very big and great forest, maybe a little fire can burn the whole forest. A small spark can burn a house. In the same way, this little tongue, with one word, may stir up great trouble and big division among people. Many times one word we say it, cause big division among people. That's why in verse 6 he said, the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. Here he is speaking about the uncontrolled tongue, the untamed tongue, could be a fire, kindle up anger, kindle up anger. One word may cause a war even between countries. That's why he said, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the horse of creation, and it is set on fire by hell. When he said world of iniquity, because the tongue can stir up a world of sinfulness. How Satan actually seduced Eve by words. So the tongue moves man. He can mix a world of sin. We can deceive one another. We can seduce one another. We can tempt one another. We can cause one another to sin by our tongues. That's why he said a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. The tongue leads all the body into sin. In temptation and seduction, it starts with words and end up with like a sexual sin. So actually, the words here made the whole body to sin at the end. That's why he said, the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. The course of nature. The idea here puts nature in place, in war. And many, many wars started by words. Some people said words, you know, or countries, and this was the beginning of war among countries. The uncontrolled tongue is inspired by hell, by Satan. The uncontrolled tongue, the bad tongue, is the organ of the devil, inspired by Satan. St. James said, it is set on fire by hell, set on fire by hell. St. James said, human beings were able to subject and put into submission many, many kinds of creatures. Almost every kind of creatures were submitted to human beings. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. And here he named four orders: beasts, birds, reptiles, and fish. And all these creatures have been subjected to the human being and controlled. Although we succeeded to tame and control all these creatures, but until now we are struggling with our tongues. Man has never tamed this little organ as a whole. Nobody can claim that I never sinned with my tongue. Nobody can say this. I never sinned with my tongue. Verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. No man can tame the tongue. Nobody can claim that all his life put his tongue under control. That's why he described the tongue, it is an unruly evil. Unruly evil does not follow a rule. That's the word unruly. And here again, St. James is speaking about the uncontrolled and the untamed tongue. Because some people and some saints may have ruled their own tongues, but the organ itself still does its evil work in the world. That's why he said, it is an unruly evil. It is the source of evil in the world. Full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. So it's not only an evil, it's not only unruly, but also it actually kills and destroys people and nations. Why? Because often it charged with malice, envy, anger, slander. That's why he said it is full of deadly poison. Actually, you can destroy somebody with your words. If you put somebody down with words, that's as if you are giving him poison to kill him. So murder is not only physical murder. You can kill somebody emotionally, psychologically. So these are other types of murder. And from verse 9, St. James gives us some illustration about its opposite uses. How we can use the tongue in opposite directions, in opposite ways. Verse 9, he told us, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. So you use it to pray and bless God. And sometimes we use our tongue to curse others who are created in the image of God. So how come with the same tongue you bless God and curse people who are created in His image? St. James here actually is rebuking some evils and some sins that he had observed among his people. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So St. James actually is surprised here. How out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing? This inconsistency come out from the same mouth. That's why he is making appeal to them here. These things should not ought not to be so. So he's appealing to their conscience. Appealing because they are his brethren. That's why he starts said, my brethren. So appealing by their brotherhood in Christ to understand that such conduct deserve the most severe punishment. Such conduct, when we bless God and curse our brethren, this conduct, this inconsistency, actually from servants, from teachers, will receive the most severe punishment. And he told us, in nature we don't see consistency. In nature we cannot have a well that gives me sweet water and bitter water. So if nature doesn't have this consistency, how can we allow this consistency to be in our life? Fountain does not give out two kinds of water, as he said in verse 11. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same spring? Verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? So neither a tree bears two opposite kind of fruit, either fig or olive. Or grapevine bear figs? Of course not. Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Cannot have a fountain of water gives you salt water and fresh water. In the same way, your mouth should not praise God and in the same time curse brethren. You cannot bear with your mouth blessing and cursing good and evil at the same time. So now, at the end of verse 12, he finished speaking about the tongue and the danger of tongue. But as I told you, some people desire to be teachers in order to appear wise, because usually those who teach appear wise to others. That's why from verses 13 to 18, St. James spoke about wisdom and compared between heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. And the main focus here, wisdom is shown in conduct and behavior more than words. It is shown in conduct and behavior more than words. So discretion and wisdom must be shown in a good conduct. That's both words and deeds. You need to have consistency between your words and your deeds. Verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? If there is a person wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. And the most important behavior here is humbleness. If you are prideful and you think you are wise, no, you are not wise. Wisdom is demonstrated in meekness. The true wisdom will not speak boastfully. The true wisdom is not prideful. The true wisdom is humble and meek. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Verse 14. But if you have bitter envy, if you believe that you are better than one another, and you envy one another with bitterness in your heart, if you have self-seeking, you put your interest before others, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Don't say, I am wise. Search your heart. Search your heart. If there is bitterness in your heart, if there is envy in your heart, if there is self-seeking in your heart, then don't boast of your goodness. Don't boast that you are a good person and you are a wise person, because this will be considered lying against the truth. Lying against God, because God is the truth. This considered lying against the truth. This wisdom which seeks its own interest, this wisdom which conspires because it envies other, this wisdom, as St. Paul, as James said, does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. This wisdom, which gives rise to envy and strife, division and confusion, is not from God. Actually, it is earthly. It is from the world. Sensual, full of passion, negative passion and negative emotion, sensual, and demonic. It is from the devil, not from God. It is sensual, earthly, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. With the earthly wisdom, there is envy and self-seeking. Envy, we envy one another, and self-seeking, I put my interest before your interest. So envy and self-seeking lead to what? Lead to confusion and every evil thing. We'll end up divided against each other, and all of us, we will suffer from evil things. Where envy and self-seeking exist in the heart, every evil work and confusion will follow. So this is the wisdom of the earth. Sensual, demonic, leads to every evil thing and confusion. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above, the heavenly wisdom, first is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. He gives us here 8 descriptions of the heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom, actually, we acquire it by communion with God. When we are one with God, united with God, we will acquire the heavenly wisdom. And St. James is contrasting this heavenly wisdom with the earthly wisdom, which he describes as false, sensual, and demonic. So, the earthly wisdom is sensual, but the heavenly wisdom is pure. The earthly wisdom is full of strife, but the heavenly wisdom seeks for peace, makes peace. The earthly wisdom is stubborn, but the heavenly wisdom, gentle, not too rigid. The earthly wisdom is controlling. There is no willingness to yield, but the heavenly wisdom is not stubborn, but capable of persuasion. We may persuade others, but the willingness to yield is very important. Some people are very, very stubborn in their own ways. They refuse to yield. This is not the heavenly wisdom. It is an essential element of the heavenly wisdom, flexibility, willingness to yield. Then he said, it is full of mercy, full of forgiveness. It is full of kindness, full of good fruits. The other wisdom, the earthly wisdom, leads to every evil work and confusion. But heavenly wisdom is full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, every good fruit. Without partiality, does not discriminate among people based on race or religion or gender or social status. It does not show respect to the people based on, this standard like race, money, social status. And also it is sincere without hypocrisy. Sincere, faithful without hypocrisy. So these are the eight descriptions of the heavenly wisdom. Pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality, and also without hypocrisy. Then actually he concluded the chapter by saying, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The earthly wisdom causes conflict, division, confusion, and leads to every good thing, leads to every evil thing. What is the opposite of confusion? Peace. What's the opposite of evil? Righteousness. That's why he said that if the earthly wisdom leads to confusion, conflict, and also every evil thing, the good wisdom or the heavenly wisdom leads to righteousness and peace. And he said the fruit of righteousness. If you want to be righteous, if you want your children to be righteous, if you want your class to be righteous, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. In order to be righteous, you need to grow in atmosphere of peace, a peaceful atmosphere. And this is what the heavenly wisdom does. But the farmer who is sowing also should be a peacemaker. That's why he said, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So if you want your class to be righteous, that's the fruit of righteousness. Then the church should have peace, and the servant should be peacemaker. So the field in the church should have peace. The servant should be peacemaker, those who make peace. Then actually you will reap the fruit of righteousness. In your house, parents should be peacemaker. House should be peaceful, no conflict, no struggle, no fight, then your children will be righteous. So the fruit of righteousness is produced by peacemakers, and the peacemakers, those who are truly wise, because the heavenly wisdom is peaceful, who sow in peace and make sure that, you know, the atmosphere of the church, of the house, whatever place, this atmosphere is full of peace. So in this chapter, St. James spoke about why we should not desire to be teachers. We will receive stricter judgment. We need to control our tongue. We should not have inconsistency with our tongues. And wisdom is not shown by words, but more importantly, is shown in meekness and in our good conduct, and this will bring forth the fruit of righteousness. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.